Every legislative session, a group of advocates brings the question of good and open government into lawmakers' conversation. This year, that longtime state narrative is having a tougher time being heard with some of the key issues, including the future of rail, as we've just talked about, dominating session priorities. Now, you might think that the change in federal governance is highlighting the need for open government, but you'd kind of be wrong, at least according to Brian Black. The executive director of the Civil Beat Law Center for the Public Interest says it's not playing into the discussion of Hawaii open government bills, which he sorts into the good, the bad, and the indifferent. Brian Black joins us now. Hello there.
Good morning, Beth Ann. How are you?
Good to see you this session. Let's start with the bad ones. And there's one that, on the face of it, people might not look at and think, oh, that's not a very good bill at all. But the one that has to do with the police body cam footage and who has access to it and who doesn't.
Yeah, so that bill, actually, there's a lot in that bill. And I put it on my tracking radar because of the disclosure provisions. But there's a lot in it that's good from the perspective of retention and when the cameras are turned on, the police body cameras would be turned on. But when it comes to disclosure of the footage that is recorded, we've got a lot of problems. And this bill is just it's so limited in nature that I consider it one of the more dangerous bills of this session.
So how fraught is it?
So the way that it's set up currently is that it's it only allows access if there is use of force by the police or if there is a felony conduct involved. Any other footage that the police officers take using body cameras would be exempt from disclosure to the public.
If that were removed, though, that would put it back on your good list, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think this bill is great otherwise. There's a lot of good things there. And it's my understanding is it originated from model legislation by the ACLU. So this is a very good bill. It's just the disclosure provisions that are really troubling. And when you look at our law generally, it's set up to allow for protection of privacy, but this one, it just has outright exemptions and confidentiality that are really troubling.
Rather ironic that it came through the model legislation from the ACLU, but this isn't over until it's over. What else is on your list of bills that you consider to be dangerous?
Another one that's dangerous, especially in its current form, is a bill that would take away the right. Set up a procedure to take away the rights of individuals who are requesting public records. Call them vexatious requesters. That's what we call the bill.
Yeah.
So, the way that bill is set up, it really takes away the rights of individuals far too easily. And so that one's dangerous.
What else is on your list?
There's another one that's interesting. It's set up to give the Office of Information Practices, which interprets our public records and open meetings laws, to give them the right to set up a rulemaking authority. The problem is that they have better things to do. I mean, the particular rulemaking authority is not something that's currently within their kuleana, and so to expand their responsibility takes them away from their ability to really address public access disputes and to educate the public.
And they've already had a lot of issues with that over time, trying to be able to see what they really have authority over and what they don't.
Yes. It's interesting because they've had rulemaking authority on things that could help out the public in terms of controlling records collection practices and making sure that there's procedures in place for researchers. They've had that authority for over 30 years and haven't created rules. So.
Okay, let's flip the list to the other side, to the good list. That Sunshine Modernization Act is back again.
Yes, we've talked about it.
We have, over and over again, the idea that there would be access to board packets, electronic meeting notices, minutes on the internet, all of that would give real people access to see what's going on within a distinct body of people.
Yeah, this is a great bill to sort of bring our open meetings law into the 21st century, and we've talked about it every year, I think, that I've been coming. So, it's moving again as it has in prior years, and I'm always hopeful. I'm always optimistic.
But until it actually goes over, because it's really come right up to the line
every single year,
every single year, and then it seems to just fall away at the very, very end. What about the idea, though, of having sunshine for board members who exchange public records outside of an open meeting and who might be able to see that might make that okay?
Yeah, so there's also a bill that I'm also optimistic about as it's moved through the system. When it originally started, it was a little troubling, but as it's moving, it's looking good. And what it does is it's what I think of as a win-win situation, because it provides boards more access to information that they can share with one another ahead of a meeting, so that they know what other board members think is relevant to the things that are on the agenda. But it also, as it's been amended, would provide the public with that information. So now the public would get access to what the board members are sharing with one another, so that they can get more educated about what's going to be on the agenda for a meeting and can provide better testimony.
Literally putting them on the same page.
Yes. Yeah.
In that vein, what about the idea of being able to have Neighbor Island testimony being available to the ledge? I mean, where people really feel that they're able to weigh in, that they're not just somehow, segmented from the process because they're far.
Yeah, that one's moving, and it has, I think the difficulty with that one, as far as I can tell, is it has an appropriation in it, and that's always that always can be difficult. But if the legislature puts money behind it, it's set up to allow for, at least for the legislature, not for boards and commissions, but for the legislature, to have a system where people can be on a neighbor island and testify and provide their input, which is very difficult otherwise.
We talk a lot about having real access to our democratic process. It seems that would be one that it would be just a cornerstone.
Yeah, and when you talk to the people from the neighbor islands, a lot of times because of how quickly the legislature moves and when the notices go out and everything, they just don't have time to jump on a plane and fly over.
Well, a reality of living in an island state. Another bill that you said that was one worth watching because it was a good thing would be the Board of Education bill, it has to have a process for all of us to add something to their agenda items if there's something we feel is important. How would that work?
I think it just requires them to set up a process. It doesn't specify what that process would be, but just to have an opportunity for the public to say, okay, let's have this on the agenda. This is something that the public thinks is important, not just the board members. I think that is very important to our participation in that process.
All right, we've got the good and the bad. On your indifferent list, you have that twice suspended officers' bills, that names of police officers suspended twice in 5 years would be disclosed. Is that because it's mostly an empty gesture? There's nothing really there?
Yeah, so it's there's a lot going on with respect to access to police disciplinary files. This would, on paper, move the needle a little bit, and it would provide for mandatory disclosure when an officer is suspended twice within 5 years. But as a practical matter, those records, once there's some litigation ongoing, once that litigation works itself out, it's unlikely that those records would be confidential anyway. And in the end, it's really unclear whether there are police officers who have been suspended twice in 5 years.
We've got about 30 seconds left of time for one more that's on your sort of indifferent list. I'll let you pick this one. I have a couple, but you go ahead.
So one of the ones that got a lot of play right at the beginning of session was the Hawaii Tourism Authority. And
knew you'd pick that one.
Yeah, taking away the sunshine exemption that they had. Well, the way that's played out, it's kind of there's more disclosure to the legislature, but there's not more disclosure to the public. So it kind of ends up in a wash.
All right. Well, we're going to leave it there for the moment, and then we'll be checking with you as we move through crossover and see what happens with good government open government bills this year. We've watched it come right up to the end and passed. We'll see what happens if we actually see some of these bills moving through, particularly the modernization. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, Betha.
And Brian Black is the executive director of the Civil Beat Law Center for the Public Interest. It's an organization whose focus is promoting transparency and responsiveness in government.